Thank you, Alex. Good morning, everybody. We have a beautiful day, nice and cool this morning, especially with all this rain coming in. Is anybody excited about the rain? I'm excited about the rain. Thomas is not excited about the rain. I don't know how it is for you farmers. Are you guys working in your at home? But at least it's keeping my electrical costs down. So I say bring it on. It is good to see everybody. If those of you guys are here, if you're watching online, I hope you're all doing well. If there's anything you need, especially prayer requests, let us know so we can make sure we pray for you. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have together. We thank you for the fellowship we have with one another. Lord, as we study your word today and see what you have to teach us in the book of Mark, we ask that you open our hearts and minds to your message. We give thanks to everything you do. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so guess what? I got some good news for you guys. In 3 days, if you are on track, you will be halfway done reading the Bible in a year. That's pretty impressive. And we've covered quite a few books. I'm keeping track at home, but you're about halfway through Psalms, and you've accomplished about 24 books. I guess I know there are 66, but you've hit a lot of the long ones, so that's pretty good. And if you guys are on track, good job. Keep it up. If you're not too far behind, well, still keep it up, because it's important that we read what Jesus or what God has to say to us. And with that, I want to go into my lesson. Is a question that I read a few times in the reading of this week is, who do you say that I am? So I was thinking about this question, and I thought, well, this one's really easy, but there's a question I think that we all trend to ask ourselves at one point in our life is, who am I? And I always think that I'm nobody. Well, at least nobody of importance. I know I'm important to some people, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm not really anybody important. Certainly, I'm a minister. I love this meme. It's just like, what people think of when they think of ministry, what my friends think I do, what my parents think I do, what society thinks I do, what my wife thinks I do. I actually don't spend any time on Facebook. I didn't make this one. I spent a little bit of time. What I think I do and what I actually do are completely different things. But, you know, every time I would apply for a job in ministry, I would read these requests of things that churches were looking for. And because everyone has this idea of what a minister is. And it kind of comes down to things on this list. If they believe that ministers should be accountable. Everybody agree with that one? All right. If not, I want to talk to you because I want to see what you think about that. We should be experienced. We should be able to communicate. I think that's really, really important. We should be responsible. We should be a role model. Even though a lot of ministers are not extroverted, we have a very extroverted job. We should be very studious, inspiring, and especially devoted to God. And if you don't have a minister without this list, I can't imagine them being a very good minister. But I want to point out that ministers are very, very, very flawed people. I mean, we're not any different than you. We just have this a profession where we get to kind of teach you about something very, very important. And because of who we are and the things that come with our job, we often tend to be sometimes pessimistic, or we tend to put other things in front or behind our ministry, especially our families. Oftentimes we get caught in this trap of pretending to be something we're not. And a lot of us end up seeing that when we do some self-reflection, we realize that despite the fact that we want to have all the answers, oftentimes we don't. In fact, especially when it comes to Bible knowledge, there are probably a lot of you in this room that know a lot more about the Bible than me. Now, I could tell you things that are about things that are about the Bible, but if you're talking about, oh, who was the third king of the of Judea, I'd be like, no, I don't know that one. Anybody know that one? No. Rehoboam was the first king of Judea, and then after that, I couldn't tell you. But we struggle with the same things you guys do. We find it hard to want to read our Bible. We find it hard to pray. We often have our own moments of faithfulness. We struggle to balance our work lives and our personal lives. And often we fall into this other problem is we want to be your friend. And fortunately, we rarely have that opportunity. Sorry, not be your friend. We want to be liked by you. We can be your friend, yes, but we recognize that because we want to be liked by everybody, we often try to make everybody happy. And through that, we distort what the gospel is actually teaching us. Despite the fact that I'm very, very, very flawed, I know that there is a greater teacher who is not. And so in chapter 8, that great teacher asks a very important question. He says, who do people say that I am? I want you guys to ask this question to your non-Christian friends. Is who, at some point, if you get an opportunity, who do you say that Jesus is? And certainly the Bible up to this point, in the first 8 chapters, tells us a lot about Jesus. It tells us that he's a very powerful person. And he's so powerful that even the wind and the sea obeys him. He's so powerful that he can heal diseases and other problems going on in people's lives. He's so powerful that eventually, even though it hasn't happened up to this point, he brings the dead back to life. But he's more than that. He's very dynamic. He's very he's a teacher. He's an upsetter. Jesus is, a lot of people are like, Jesus is a man of peace. Well, that's not really how he's always portrayed in the Bible. He certainly upset the Pharisees. But up until this point, he mostly describes himself using these three words. The Son of Man. So when he asks this question, he probably has an idea what's going on when he wants people to answer this question. Is they respond by saying, some think you're a prophet. In fact, this is mentioned at least twice up into this, twice in the first half of the book of Mark, one in chapter 6 and one in chapter 8. And this is probably the most obvious of all the answers because Jesus certainly acted like a prophet. In fact, he essentially admits to himself, he admits to his disciples that he was a prophet when he makes the statement that he was without honor in his hometown. But the rest of his mannerisms were exactly in the keeping with the prophets of the Old Testament. He proclaimed the word of God. If people were doing wrong, he would go and tell them they were doing wrong. Yeah, he would perform, not all prophets perform miracles, but certainly some of the big ones did. Like we just read about Elijah and Elisha performing miracles, with Elijah doing 7 and Elisha doing, that's really hard to distinguish between those two, 14. So we can agree that Jesus is a prophet. Anybody disagree with that statement? But it doesn't really tell you more than that who he is if we just look at Jesus in that lens. But there's more to it. He's like, some people also say that Jesus is John the Baptist. Well, this is the easiest one to refute. Is that we know for a fact that he was not John the Baptist, because one, by blood, he was related to John the Baptist. They existed at the same time. In fact, John the Baptist was even the one who baptized Jesus. So the obvious answer is, well, this is false. But it's understandable to see why at least Herod thought Jesus was the John the Baptist, because Herod viewed Jesus and John the Baptist as being both holy and righteous men, especially in the fact that they were both talking about things that were personally against him. So Herod probably saw Jesus as John the Baptist incarnate that was personally coming back to haunt him for his sins, especially the sin of murdering John the Baptist. But, you know, unlike the prophet one where Jesus is definitely a prophet, he is not John the Baptist. Others, like his family, said Jesus is out of his mind. I'm not really sure what this particular phrase is trying to convey here. There's two possible translations. And the first one is they're saying this in a way that's trying to protect him. Because Jesus is basically saying that he is God at this point. And what's the punishment for making this claim? What's the punishment for blasphemy? It's death. So by them saying he's out of his mind, they might be trying to protect him from that punishment. But also, there's the fact that these are the people that grew up with Jesus. Like, hey, I saw that guy as a kid. I saw him do these things. How can he certainly make these claims? I would have seen those, and now yet I'm hearing this. Now, he must be out of his mind. Well, I know Jesus isn't out of his mind. In fact, Jesus was always in his right mind. So I can say, unlike him being a prophet, this is more like the John the Baptist claim, is he is certainly not out of his mind. Others said that Jesus is demon-possessed. This one, to me, makes even less sense because it's mostly driven by personal bias. At some point, Jesus comes to... this isn't mentioned in Mark, but it's mentioned in Matthew. Jesus goes to heal a blind man. And so these scribes come down from Jerusalem to kind of deal with the fact that there's this guy who obviously has supernatural powers. In fact, he has a power that is not mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament. No other prophet healed a blind person. But it was talked about. It said that the Messiah would be able to heal blindness. So they have to explain this to the people. Well, he has power, and he has supernatural power, but he's certainly not agreeing with our belief. Therefore, he must be of the devil, or he must get his powers from Beelzebub. And Jesus quickly dismisses that. He's like, how could a house divided against itself stand? If I'm doing this great thing in the name of someone who is evil, who doesn't want this great thing to happen, that doesn't even logically make sense. So based on what was going on, I can say Jesus is definitely not of a demon. So who is this Jesus? Well, what better way to find out who he is than to look at what he says he is? He says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord of the Sabbath. You guys know that holy day that on Saturday all the Jews would get together and they would just do nothing? I feel like everybody should have a day like that where you just one day a week you do absolutely nothing except maybe take a nap. Wouldn't that be great? We don't really do that, do we? This is a practice I wouldn't mind actually honoring. It's just the day where I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stay here. Unfortunately, we don't do that. But Jesus is saying that he himself is greater than the rules and the traditions and everything that comes with being part of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of it. Well, who is the Lord of the Sabbath? God. So by making this claim, Jesus is saying that he is on par with God. And to further his point, he also tells us that he has the power to forgive sins. I like their response here because this is early in Mark. And if I have to imagine I'm in their time period listening to Jesus make this claim, I would have to say that they bring up a very, very good point. Who is this person that claims that they can forgive sins? And Jesus' response to that is, which is easier to say, yeah, your sins are forgiven, or to get up and take up your mat and be healed? But so you will know who I am, you will see it. And what happens? The man takes up his mat and he's healed, showing that he has the power to forgive sins. Jesus knows exactly who he is. So when he says this question, he's not asking for his benefit. So when I ask the question, who am I? I am asking for my benefit. But Jesus is never asking for his benefit. He's always asking for the benefit of the people who are listening to him. So when he asks this question of his disciples, he knows what's going to come next. Who do people say that I am? And I love their responses because their responses are nice. Because every example they give is essentially a compliment. Oh, some people think you're a prophet. Well, that's a compliment. Some people think you're Elijah. That's a compliment. Some people think you're John the Baptist. I would say that's a compliment. We don't know a whole lot about him, but he's portrayed as a good person. But none of them are accurate. Jesus right now is wanting to know, by asking this question, to know where they stand with him. How are they going to answer this question? Because there's a lot of people who get this question right, but completely miss the point of the question. You know, twice in this book, demons tell the crowd exactly who Jesus is. They say in chapter 1 and in chapter 5, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. What have you done with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. They got it right, but it means absolutely nothing, because what they're choosing to do, well, they're demons. I don't know if they have a choice, but Peter gets the question right, because he understood something that a lot of people at that time did not understand. That he was more than a prophet. He was more than a great person. He was on par with God. However, in the following verse, he did not know what that meant. He got the answer right, but for all the wrong reasons. Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." But if you still aren't convinced on who Jesus is, all we have to do is go back to chapter 1. God affirms that this is the correct statement by saying, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And then another place, I think in Matthew, it says, "Listen to him." God, Jesus wasn't baptized like everyone else. Jesus was different. He came with a purpose, and that was to fulfill God's plan. So, how do you answer this question? If Jesus was there, so I said, ask your friends, because I'd be curious. One, you'd probably just be curious to hear what they have to say. But two, how do you answer this question? So if he says, "Who do you say I am?" What's the answer? But more than that, what's the response to that answer? Because you can claim that Jesus is the Christ, but if there's nothing else after that, it doesn't really mean anything to you, because faith without devotion is meaningless. It's, you know about him, but you have no relationship with him. Being a Christian is having that relationship with God. Is it easy? No, it's a really hard walk sometimes. There are parts of it that are easily. And it helps if you have someone with you, like a wonderful wife. But we don't have to ever do it alone, because we always have brothers and sisters in Christ. Who are you? But more importantly, who is Jesus? If that's a question we can help you, if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.